Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And let's look at start with verse 23. Luke 9, beginning with verse 23. And as you're turning there, if you look at all of Luke 9, it begins with Jesus sends out the 12. He sends them out in groups of two. So you got six groups of two. And he gives them authority to drive out demons, heal people, and preach the word. So Jesus has been doing it. They have been with him. Now he is sending them out to do it. And they are going to every town and village they come to in groups of two. And they're the ones doing the preaching, the healing, and the casting out of demons. It doesn't say exactly how long they go out. I'm imagining they're out for probably a month, and then they come back with Jesus. But that was part of his training them. Right after that, all huge crowds had gathered to hear Jesus at one location, and there was no place nearby where the people could get food to eat or stay. And the apostles came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, you're going to have to dismiss the crowd because they, you know, it's getting late in the day and they need to make arrangements. They need to go find food. They need to take care of stuff. And Jesus, who's in the process of training them, and remember, he had just got done sending them out in groups of two to do these things he's been training them to do. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. We're told in this particular story that there was a large group of people, that men alone, there was 5,000 men there. And so the apostles said, all right, let's figure out what we got. So they did an inventory, and they asked everybody, what have you brought? And they found that they had 5 breadsticks, and they had 2 fish. It was one person's lunch, and that was all that they had. And Jesus says, well, bring it to me. He says, have the people sit down in groups of about 50. And he prayed over it and started breaking it. I don't know exactly what this was like, but it seemed like every time he would break the fish, it seemed like the one piece of fish that he'd break into two, it was almost like now each one of those two was as big as the one whole, and Jesus kept breaking and kept breaking, and it seemed like, I'm sure if I was one of the apostles, I would be wanting to stop for a second and get my face right up there to see Jesus breaking the fish, because he kept breaking, and there was still more, and there was still more. And it says the whole group of 5,000 was fed, and there was, after they collected all the leftovers, after people had all the eat they wanted to, there was 12 basketfuls left over. So one little boy's lunch, 5 breadsticks, 2 pieces of fish, leftovers, 12 basketfuls. And there just happened to be 12 apostles. So each one has a basketful. So probably for the next couple of days, you know how it is after Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving's on Thursday. What do you eat on Friday? Turkey leftovers. What's on Saturday? Turkey leftovers. What's on Sunday? Turkey leftovers. And can you just imagine the conversations? I can just hear the apostles now. Because I guarantee you that the 5,000 had no clue what happened behind the scenes with meal prep. The people that knew all the details of the meal prep were the 12 apostles. And I can imagine the day after this happened, they're sitting down and they're eating the leftovers together, and they're like, hey, Peter, take a look at this. Isn't this weird? And then Peter, I'm sure, would look over and said, this is totally weird. I mean, I've got this whole big basketful, and you got this whole big basketball food. We all got these big basketfuls. But we remember that kid's lunch. How'd Jesus do that? Did you get your head up close and watch him when he was breaking it? Like, as he broke it, did all of a sudden the fish expand in his hand or something? I didn't really get to see. Did you get to see? No. Boy, I wish we could do that again. I'd want to get my head right in there. And I'd want to stop and say, Jesus, can you please explain to me how this is happening? And you know, if Jesus broke enough bread and fish so that 5,000 people could eat, I mean, just think about it. Imagine if we had a spaghetti dinner here, and you had to scoop the spaghetti out and then put some sauce on it for 5,000 people. How long is that going to take you to scoop? Think about it. How long? It's going to take, what, 2 hours? How long was Jesus breaking bread and fish? What do you think? Joyce is like, is there a production line? whatever. Well, on to the next thing. On to where I want to take you now. Jesus is trying to help them understand this whole new life, his power and what he wants for them and how to tap into it and how to understand it all. And here he gets to the heart of it all in verse 23. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So Jesus is calling upon those that would come after him to understand that the only way to really know what it's all about is to have an all-in approach. And if the all-in approach is where you are going to discover what it's all about, it's not like from the outside you're going to get to see what the benefits are. It's not like you're going to be able to do some trial period where you can get the benefits for a while and see how much you like the benefits. And then if you like the benefits, then you can decide to be all-in. No, 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 no. There are things that the only way you're going to know what they're like is from the inside, that life which is said, I'm all in. If anyone would come after me, must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, when you think about denying yourself, it comes very natural for us to put ourselves in first place. We like to organize our time the way we like to organize our time. We like to plan our finances around our priorities. We like to do things the way we like to do things. And the call is to, rather than taking me and my desires and my wanting to do things the way I want to do things, and say, I'm going to set that aside. And I'm just going to put Jesus first. And I'm going to let him call the shots in my life. Whatever that means. I'm going to approach my marriage and relationships the way he says. I'm going to handle my money the way he says to handle my money. I'm going to arrange my day and arrange my priorities in a way that would be pleasing to him. And I'm just going to make a lifestyle out of that. Verse 24 says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Now, I see it a lot where folks are like, I believe in Jesus, and yes, I know who he is, and I think Jesus is great, and I think his teachings are great. And Jesus isn't calling on us just to vote him first place in the popularity contest. You know, it's got to be more than that. He's saying, if you really want to find life, you got to be willing to let everything go to follow him. And there's so many things that, when you get right down to it, that we want to hold on to. But if you never come to a point where you're willing to let it all go for him, you're never going to know what it's like to really live. You got to come to a point where you're willing to drop all the conditions and just say, let's go, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Just let things work however they're going to work. I'm going to let you lead. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And truly, that life where you make your mind up that you really are in every way going to be all in, that's where you find life. It is. It says, whoever loses his life for me will save it. Because when you lose your life for him, you find that he gives you life, real life. And like I say, the only way you can know what this is like is from the inside. You just got to go for it. And once you've gone for it, and you're walking like that, you're going to come to see what a great decision that is. Now, for those who can't get themselves to that point, verse 25 says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self? You know, people invest themselves in so many different things. It might be some business venture, it might be some hobby, it might be some personal goal, as if that is the most important thing in the world. I got a friend of mine who's training for his first Ironman, and Ironman Jacksonville, I guess, is supposed to be, what, this weekend, or is it next weekend? It's right here. So I saw him in the gym, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? He goes, oh. I'm like, what's wrong? I thought maybe somebody in the family died. He goes, well, the storm. He goes, I know they're going to be canceling Ironman Jacksonville. And I was like, that sounds like a reason to celebrate for me. I wouldn't want to go riding a bike that long. Think about how sore your butt's going to be. And then you got to get off and run. Are you crazy? No, it was so sad. He goes, I've been looking forward to this. I've been planning for this. This particular guy, I mean, he's got two little kids at home. But they don't see him because on Saturdays he's out and he's doing these four-hour bike rides followed by an hour, two-hour run. That's Saturday. Sunday he's got a big long day of training. He gets up way before the sun comes up to begin his training, and then he goes to his work, and then he's training till about dark, and then visits with the kids a little bit right before they go to bed, and that's his life. You know, those of us who have lived a little while, what's the truth? That's just a passing thing. It's just something fun to do for a while. It's not going to last. It's just going to be a medal that sits on your shelf, and over time it gets old, and it'll go from your top shelf to be put in a box somewhere that years from now you'll pull out and you'll tell people, oh, guess what I did back in. And they're all looking, that's nice. You know, you can't get the time back. It's just gone. And for him, he can't bring his children's childhood back. They grew up while he was out training. The Saturday they had off from school, and he did an eight-hour training day. They watched TV and hung around the house, and he was gone. I tell you, an all-in life you'll find is a balanced life. An all-in life is a life you're going to find that is filled with more love than any other life. Because you're going to see the people around you as people that God wants you to bless. The all-in life is a sweet life. It's a rich life. It's a life that you're happy you lived. In the all-in life, there's things you're going to let go of. I love Hebrews chapter 12. I know some of you have that memorized, but let me read a little bit to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and we're talking about godly people that have gone on before us, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So what are the sin things in life that hinder you? What are the sin things that if you even get close to them, it's like you get all tangled up in them? And have you ever noticed that sin things, you cannot handle them? Like you can't say, you know, I mean, I love it. I got this bag of Dove milk chocolate pieces, and I like to look forward to them. But I'll tell you what, I'll eat one of them, and I'll think, man, that was so good. Every bite of it is so delicious. But I don't, like, go away, and I say, I'm so glad I ate that. That was the most wonderful thing. No, I eat one, I'm like, that is so good. I need to have another one. And then after I get two in me, I think, it's not going to hurt. I'm not saying Dove chocolate pieces are sin. But, you know, sometimes people think that sin things, whatever it may be in your life, that it's like you can control it and you can have just a little bit of it and it's almost like a cherry on top of a sundae. It's not going to hurt anything. But it's not like that. If God has made clear that there's something that doesn't belong in your life, you indulging yourself in any part of it is a bad thing. It's giving that thing that God has said no to an ability to grab on one more time in your life. Your memory is going to be marked by one more failure. Your ability to evolve yourself in that sin is going to be developed a little bit because you have practiced it. I mean, if you practice the piano, every time you practice, you're going to get a little bit better at it. And that's how it works with everything in life. And the more you go back to repeated sins, the more familiar you become with how to get into them and how to go about doing it. And over time, you will find that you are an expert in going back to those things. But understand, if the Lord has made clear that those things are things that do not belong in your life, He doesn't want you to develop an ability to go back to it. I guess let me use a quick illustration just because I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about. I had a friend of mine in college who was a real music buff and had a huge music collection. And so he was very aware of all these bands and when they were touring and everybody was in the bands and all the lyrics to all the songs. And that was his life. And he went to a revival series of revival meetings, and God got a hold of his heart, and he became convinced in his heart that a lot of the stuff that he was listening to regularly were things that God didn't want him listening to regularly. But here's the problem. He had been a part of that for so long that he was so familiar. Just the names, the words, the melodies, they were so close because he had so much to do with them that they just came natural to him. It's almost like practicing the piano. He'd practiced a long time and he'd get good at it. For him, he knew that he had to make a real break on things. So I was there as he had a huge trash can outside his room and he started filling it up with all all kinds of stuff, valuable stuff. But he says, I know I got to break a break with it. So sin is something that so easily entangles us. You do not need one more memory of going back and failing again. You've failed enough. Your feet may still know the way down the path to go to the place where you fail. You need to get away from it so that maybe after enough time goes by, maybe your feet would forget the way. Or maybe it would get so far away from you because you had really let it go and let it die that maybe it got so that you don't even really think about it much anymore. The sin that so easily entangles. And really, it needs to be thrown off. And I want to tell you, the way we throw it off is just making our mind up that none of that stuff in that pattern of failure, feeling sorry, going to God, asking for His forgiveness, only to let a little time go by and we're failing again. That terrible pattern, that way of life, just needs to be let go. It needs to be jettisoned and just dive in and say, I'm just going to be a Jesus person. I'm going to let the old be gone and I'm going to embrace the new. I'm going to let Him do a healing in my life, and then I'm just going to live, and I'm just going to be His person in every single way without any exception. Sin that so easily entangles. Break that pattern so that you can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's the Lord's will for our life, that we could run forward and to become who He's called us to be. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Oh gosh, no. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we're buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A new life. And in Him, in that all-in life, we find newness of life. And I want to tell you what. Sometimes people come to church and they believe in Jesus, but they haven't really dove in for that all-in Christian life. And I want to tell you what. If you've never done that, you don't know what it's like. And there's good stuff out there that you haven't even experienced yet. And there is a whole better life that you haven't even tasted of yet. And the only way you can know is doing it, diving in. But it means you're just going to have to let go of all the old stuff. All the stuff you know that you shouldn't be doing, the patterns of doing it, feeling sorry, feeling bad, promising you won't do it, going back and doing it again. You just need to let it all go. I love hearing stories from vets, not veterinarians, military vets. You know something that's very interesting? A lot of the vets, World War II vets, it's very difficult to get anything out of them. And there's a reason why. They came back, and it was one idea that it seemed like a lot of them held on to is that we did what we had to do over there, and then we're coming home, and we're not going back there again. And I know a lot of people that had family members that really were heroes, but they never could get the family member to tell any of the stories. And the reason why is they said, that stuff is behind me, and I don't want to, it's something I had to do, and I don't even want to think about it again. It's just gone. And I think that when it comes to sins that so easily entangle us, I think it's good to take some stuff and just say, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to move on. And maybe there's some things in your life that, in your heart of hearts, you know it hasn't brought you anything good. And maybe it's the time to really let it be gone. Move on. Just put it behind. And start the process of forgetting. If we have been united with him like this in death, dying to all that, we'll certainly also be united with him in resurrection. For we know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And we also know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. In the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. And I tell you what, thinking back to what I started with in Luke 9, what Jesus says, if you want to follow me, he said, you got to take up your cross and follow him. You have to be all in order to know what that life is that he has for you. And to go along and to believe in him, but not to be all in, is to be so close, but to miss out on what it's all about. So close, but miss out. And I would like to challenge you to plunge in. I want to tell you that the water's nice. And once you get in, you're really going to be happy that you did. And the longer that you're in, the more happy you are going to be that you did it. As we close our service, I want to give you an opportunity. I know sometimes that the Lord talks to us about specific things, and you know, the scriptures call the Holy Spirit our counselor. Also calls the Holy Spirit our intercessor. You know, he goes between us and God, and he helps us understand things of God. And maybe this morning God's been talking with you, and as I've talked with you specifically about maybe things that God has pointed out that he doesn't want in your life. Maybe there's some of you this morning, you go, I know what you're talking about, Pastor Doug. There's some things that he's pointed out to me, but I have the hardest time getting away. I say I'm gonna, but then I don't. And maybe change is impossible. I just want to give you an opportunity to take this time to make a decision to say, I'm gonna be all in. I'm gonna step in. I'm gonna say, all right, Jesus, I'm gonna put all that behind me, and I'm just gonna be your person. I'm gonna go where you want me to go. I'm gonna do what you want me to do. And I'm just going to relax and say, I belong to you, every single part of me. I'm going to trust you, Lord, that because, you know, he's following him. He's going to take us for a ride. And he's not going to tell you in advance all the twists and turns. Maybe he's going to have you do something more than you ever imagined. But that's all right. Oh, well. Well, I guess let's pray, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up and lead us in the final things in our service. Dear God, thank you for being here by your Spirit, and thank you that we have our Bibles. It's great to read these challenges of our Lord Jesus, who has made very clear to us the way of salvation and the way to find real life. And Lord, it's just exciting walking with you and in knowing what it is to have your spirit leading and guiding and not feeling like we have anything in between, just that wonderful freedom of the spirit. So thank you. Thank you for being here in our service. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.